very much Rabbi Price. Yeah. Myself, Rabbi Price, now, Rabbi Spetner, Rabbi Mitzer, and all the founders of the Kol, we go way back. Now, I'd like to be perfectly transparent about how way back we go, but it's classified information. It's a matter of national security, so you'll forgive me if I don't say exactly how many years it goes back. So I'd like to just lay out a few questions to pique your curiosity. You know, about the issue that we want to speak about tonight, that we're going to discuss ideas about Purim, ideas that how it relates to the holy work of the Chevra Kadisha, right, and about life itself. You know, Purim is, we'll start with a more general question. Purim is coming up, you know, and the Megillah tells us, you know, Purim, Al Shema Pur, right, they call it Purim because of the Pur, right, the dice that Haman threw. So, it should be called Pur. Right, name it after the poor, so-called the day poor. Why is it Purim? So now, you know, today is Zayin Adar, you know, the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, and Chazal tells regarding this poor, that when Haman saw that the poor drew up the month of Adar, he was very happy, right? Because that's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Right? And why he was happy, we'll come back to in a second, but here was his thinking. Right, as the Gemara says, because Moshe died in Adar. Right? Today is his Yahrzeit, it's Petira. And the Gemara says, you know, but he didn't know that he was born on Adar also. Now, I'm sorry, I'm with Haman on this one. Right? Who cares that 120 years before he died, he was also born on that day? It goes by how it ends off, right? He who laughs last, laughs best. So 120 years old, he was born, big deal. What does that mean? What is the significance in that? So now, you know, going back to why he was elated that it was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, because, you know, Moshe played a very pivotal role in the original war against Amalek. You know, with his hands up, right, the Jewish people would win. If hands went down, Jewish people would lose. Right, so what was Haman worried about in the first place? Where is Moshe ever since that first war with Amalek? Moshe was very central. Only when his hands were up, we would win. Hands were down, we would lose. Right? Moshe's gone anyway. Right? Where is Moshe? If Muhammad Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, it's a generation to generation battle with Amalek for all generations. So where's Moshe? We need him for all generations. Right? So what should we think about? So now, there's another connection, you know, between Moshe and the story of Purim. One that's a little bit more direct. Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, links them all. And the Gemara starts off with Moshe min Atar Minayin. Where do you know an allusion to Moshe even before he was born? So the Gemara brings a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis. It's actually the pasuk where God is decreeing the flood that's going to wipe out the planet. We talk about climate change, man, right? Right, you're a tough crowd. Anyway, the original climate change, right? It's true, it happened. Right, so you know the world's going to get flooded. So is I'm not going to contend with man forever, for he is flesh. B'shagam, right? For he is the same gematria, same numerical value as Moshe. That's not very flattering, right? That is not flattering. You say, Moshe, the greatest human being that ever lived, right? Greatest human being ever in history, even Mashiach will not be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He is alluded to in this decree about that's going to wipe out the whole planet. I guess it can't be that bad. Hey, right? That's what it means. You know, so Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to it. And then immediately afterwards, the Gemara launches into allusions to the characters from Purim. That's Haman min Atar Minayin, Haman min Ha'etz, right? Mordechai min Atar Minayin, right? Kachlam Sarosh, Merodichya, Esther min Atar Minayin, Vanochi Aster Ponai. So we see Moshe is directly linked to the people, you know, the characters of the story of Purim. But Moshe's, the allusion to Moshe is from the Gzera, you know, of, you know, bringing the flood that, you know, wiped out the whole planet. That's something which needs to be understood. You know, that is what Moshe, as if that's what Moshe is about, and that somehow ties in to the story of Purim. So let's go back to the interesting story, you know, that Moshe has to have his hands up for the Jewish people to win, right? While Yoshua is down there and fighting with the sword. Now, this is something interesting. This doesn't happen in any other wars that the Jewish people had. Right? The other wars that the Jewish people had were they took on Sichon, Og, right? All the other people, all the other battles that they fought. You don't have to have Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain with his, you know, hands up. It's something particular to Amalek. What's that about? Right? Now, you know, there was, you know, anyone who heard of the Lavin Pirchei, right? Lavin School of Jewish Song, Lavin Pirchei. Oh, man.
Nobody knows.
Now, I was going to say, you know, that they have a song that's... Right, yeah. No, but the thing is that it is that old and that good that the lyrics made it into a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. All right, I used this line last night in my routine at the club. It brought the house down, right? Listen. Right, made it into a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And it puts together two things. Very interesting. Puts together the story of Moshe. Hands up, do you think his hands, you know, actually made the war or broke the war? But the hands remind us to, you know, subjugate ourselves to Hashem. And then it says about the Nechash HaNechoshes, the copper snake, the Chi Nechash Memis Umechaye. And it's the same message. Right? Now, the truth is, anytime a prophet will be sent by Hashem to do something, like Elisha was supposed to pour salt into the waters, you know, to make the water sweet and drinkable. Moshe Rabbeinu threw a stick, you know, you know, anytime the prophet does something, you know, we don't believe that what the prophet did is the cause of why, you know, the miracles. It's, of course, it's always Hashem, right? So what's special about these two things? You know, it's about the hands up and it's about the copper snake. Right? So there's a prelude to the story of when Amalek came, right? The Jewish people were thirsty, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock. And then the pasuk adds up that it was called, you know, it was called Meriva. Right? They tested Hashem. Says, is Hashem in our midst or not? Now, we got to qualify this, right? We got to qualify. These people definitely believed in God, right? They were eating mun at the time. Short while earlier, right? You know, they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. And before that, you know, the Esar Makas. It cannot be, right, that they're asking, is God in our midst, as if, is there a God or not? That cannot be the question. That cannot, they were even one at the time, right? That cannot be the question. What was their question? And the truth is, as the Zohar points out, it wasn't really a question. It was a statement. They demanded clarification. When you say, is Hashem in our midst? What does that mean? You know, we do, you know, we try. We do our best. We put effort, and we believe, of course, success comes from Hashem, right? But, and he, you know, we know Hashem, Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kaneu, Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kaneu, Hashem, you know, puts Tishrei Shechina B'Maaseh Yadeichem. Hashem blesses our actions with success, but we got to do, as we call it, Hishtadlus. We got to try. And that's called Hashem in our midst, right? You do your best, of course, with the belief that you will, it will bear fruit. You'll get somewhere because God is with you. Right? But there's something else. Im oyin, esa einai elehorim me'ayin yavo ezri. Look my eyes, you know, turn the mountains. From where will come out my help? You know, where you see no direction. You don't know what to try. You're in such a dilemma, right? And such a tzara, you don't see what you could possibly do. In me'ayin, from where will come my help? Right? So what does the next pasuk say? By no coincidence, Ezri me'im Hashem, Osei Shamayim Varetz. My help comes from Hashem, who created heaven and earth. God made heaven and earth also me'ayin, out of nowhere. Bria yesh me'ayin. Right? So if God can make heaven and earth out of nowhere, don't be assured. So even we ask, me'ayin yavo Ezri, I see no direction. I don't see an approach. Right? If God can make the whole world out of nowhere, he could certainly help you with your problem. But when you're in that type of situation of me'ayin, Yavo Ezri, that's a time when there's, you don't see any reasonable hishtadlus to make. You have no direction, right? You have no kivun, right? How to possibly alleviate a situation, from where will come my help? So in that type of situation, it's all bitachon, right? All just pure faith in God, because there's nothing for me to even try. And that's what the Jewish people, that was their dilemma. You know, they're living in the desert. They're living a supernatural life, right? They don't see how they could possibly better their situation. They're in the desert after all, right? But you know, so should we just have faith? You know, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, should we try something? Should we like dig for water? Yesh b'kirbeinu, yesh, right? Right, is there something to try? Im ayin, or there's no direction. There's nothing to do, right? There is no way forward, right? Just have faith. That was their frustration, right? So, and it was al nasosam. So says the Zohar like this. They decided it has to be either this or that. No, they're working with categories that they felt are mutually exclusive, right? And they weren't asking an innocent question. It was al nasosam. They were testing. They decided already ahead of time it has to be either or. So God, which is it? So what does Hashem do? Right? Hashem says, yeah, you got to get these categories out of your head. Right? And how so? Then Vayavo Amalek. So now what this war was fought on two levels. To Yoshua, Bechar Lanu Anashim, choose people, Bechira, right? Free will, choice, right? Strategy, right? Say Vilachim Bamalek, you know, give it your gusto, right? Now, fight as if it really makes a difference. And yet, at the same time, Moshe is there with his hands above his head in prayer, as if, meaning our hands that we strive, that we make ishtalos with, we surrender them to Hashem. You're going to juggle both the yesh, the b'chal noshim, with the ayin. Because you guys think it has to be one or the other. That's a mistake. Right? Well, don't work with these categories, right, that you think are mutually exclusive. Right? Where does that come from? That sometimes we work with categories, and which means that you know we assume the answer has to be either or, when really the truth is neither, or both, and that's what the Jewish people had to realize at the time. They had to juggle both the hishtadlus with the bitachon, right? The b'chal ano anashim, the yesh with the ayin, with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the hands up, surrendering everything to Hashem. They had to juggle both to get them out of this idea that has to be, you know, as if it has to be one or the other. You know, I have to say something. This happened here tonight, right here in this room, right? Right here, right? And now, it's an innocent mistake, right? But, you know, in the beginning of the evening, I walked in and I saw, you know, what there was to drink on the table. And I asked if it was time to make a l'chaim on. And the well-meaning individual, really well-meaning, asked, Scotch or bourbon? That's Hayeshim Ayin, right? What do you mean, Scotch or bourbon? Why can't I have both? Right? And I got it. And the message got through, and we got both, right? Yeah. Where does that come from? That we think in these like. We're crippled by these, you know, categories. Now we're kind of square. I don't mean the midsection. I mean, you know, in the way we, in the way we think. You know, we think, you know, top versus down, right? You know, right versus left, Democrat, Republican, right? You know, we think of these, you know, in these straight lines that they're two opposing poles. You know, where does that type of thinking come from? That has to be either or. It's either on this side or on that side. Right, these categories that sometimes cripple us, because these categories may be totally flawed. It comes from the Eitz Hadas Tov Vara, right? The original sin of Adam that changed our way of thinking. That we think of these categories of Tov and Ra, right? And which we take to be as mutually exclusive, but there's a problem. There is a real problem here. You understand, if you would take it as literally mutually exclusive, you are dividing up God's kingdom into halves, right? He's king over the Tov, right? Who's king over the Ra? Eino Mavado. It's only one God. Umahuso bako mashalom. So the Shlomo says in Pirush HaNeseder, God's kingdom is moshel. It reigns over everything. Just the difference between a moshel and a melech is a moshel is, you know, he reigns over you whether you realize it or not. A melech is who you accept. Umalchuso, his kingdom that we acknowledge, bako, mashallah, it reigns over everything, including their evil. There's only one God. There's only one kingdom. Right? We have a job to do. We have a job to fight against evil. And you know why? Not because nice is nicer. Right? Because evil, what's really bad about evil is not that it's not good. What's really bad about evil is that it poses an illusion as if there's another side. There's an alternative to the kingdom of heaven. There is no alternative. There's only Hashem. There's only Hashem. And Hashem wants us to fight against evil to vanquish that illusion. For us, the illusion of evil having a mahut, and it's a category. So there's the tov, and there's the ra. As if, you know, if the one, you know, negates the other, as if they're from two different, you know, kingdoms, God forbid, right? You know, that comes from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. And working with these flawed categories, you know, is working with these flawed categories is what gives room to all the confusion that the Eitz HaRa can use to confuse us. Because the way we're measuring up reality is faulty, right? We don't see reality as it truly is. And that's what it means. Haman minatora minayin hamina eitz. Right? The allusion to Haman is from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. That, as it were, it's because we have that type of mentality that we walk around with all the questions. Right? Is hishtalus versus bitachon, yedia versus bechira. Right? All the great dilemmas that there are in philosophy all come because we're walking around with a mentality that we got because of the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. And that's what Amalek thrives on, that mentality that we fell into because of that eating of the tree. The Torah liberates us from that and brings us to the truth that Hashem is the one and only real power. And we fight against evil because he wants us to. And what's really bad about evil is the fact that it presents itself as an alternate reality. That's what's really bad about it, the sheker of it. As the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, before Adam ate from the tree, you know how he saw things, what is versus what isn't, right? So everything that we would call today bad to Adam before he ate from the tree was called a lie, right? We ate from the tree, everything we call lies, it's like something that exists. It's the evil, as if it has a mahut to it. That's the big mistake, you know, that causes all the deficiencies in the way that we think. So now, going back to the copper snake, right, the Nachash and Nachash, the Ramban right there on the spot points out an interesting thing. You know, Ramban was by profession a doctor. And he says, when I treat someone for a dog bite, the last thing I want him to do is come in contact with dogs. Don't mention a dog in front of him for a while, right? Because he'll have trauma, right? Because he just didn't die a dog, right? And there's nothing that's going to set back his healing than to come into contact dogs or even hear about dogs, right? So Hashem now says, the nation was just bitten by snakes. Look at the copper snake and you will be healed. No, that's like, that goes against the grain of human nature, against the grain of the way our minds work. You were traumatized by this thing. Now you're going to go look at this thing. And he says, so says the Ramban, exactly. It's a nes betoch nes, the Ramban says. The Ramban says this is called a miracle squared. A miracle to the second power. To just to give a word of explanation to this Ramban, what it means, a miracle squared. Nes betoch nes, right? Like Kriyas Yamsuf is hard. You know, don't even bother trying it at home. It won't work, right? It's really, really hard to do. But it is possible. You could take out your calculator and calculate exactly how much force you need in order to part the waters. You can understand how it's possible, even though me and you can't do it, right? Right, but you know, this thing about that you will be healed by looking at the snake, that's not an issue of having requisite power, requisite force. That's absurd, because that's the type of thing that's the worst thing for a snake bite victim to do, right? Right? That's called miracle squared. It's not just impossible. It's absurd. It defies, and we can't get our heads around it. And then the Ramban adds off and says the following, Kol darkei hatera nes betoch nes. The Torah's way is about this idea of miracle squared. Bending, mind-bending, mind-bending. Right? The Torah is coming, the Eitz HaChaim. It's coming to liberate us from the false way of thinking of the Eitz HaDas. Right? That, you know, God is, you know, God, the one good God, right? His one ratzon, his one will to bestow goodness is the only reality that there is. There, in God's world, his reality, there, evil has no real mahut, no real substance to it. So let's ask, you know, there is one thing, seemingly, death. No. As we know from the Svarim, the Ramchal writes about this quite extensively in the Derech Hashem. He explains it very well. You know, death and the burial and everything that the holy work that the Chevra Kadisha does, right, to ensure proper burial of Kiyofarata, Va'afar Toshuv, that is the beginning of swinging back to life. Right? In our current form, because of the Eitz HaDas, we're not built to last. We're not immortal. Even if you eat, you know, whole grain, you know, whole grains and organic tofu, I'm telling you, it's not going to work, right? You get a year or two, it's hardly worth the effort, right? There's no immortality, right? Those commercials are not telling you the truth, right? You want immortality, you want to live forever, you want a body that's built to last. You have to die and have the body go into the kever. All the bad matter has to be smelted out with the decomposition. And that lays the groundwork for Tchiyas HaMesim, right? That the body will be rebuilt only with the good matter, and that's a body that'll last forever. So it comes out that death, right? And burial, which you say as if, you know, goodbye to the body. That's how the body swings back and comes back. Right? You know, that is the truth that the Torah teaches us, right? In God's world, right, and only the Torah reveals this truth. The mind that we have could never understand this by itself, right? You know, we're not living in a straight line that one part of the line is good, the other part of the line is bad. You know, one part of the line is birth, the other part of the line, right, is death. We don't live in a straight line reality. We don't live in flat. We live in a loop, massive circle. You're born. And when you die, you're born again. And your day of your death is the day that facilitates your rebirth for eternal life, for Tchiyas HaMesim. Right? You cannot attain immortality without dying and going into the grave. Right? It's a loop. You know, when you hit the bottom of the loop, you're swinging up again. Right? And you know, this truth was, you know, this is the truth of the Torah. But this truth was driven home to us with the story of Purim. That's the message of V'nahafochu. V'nahafochu. When you think this down, it flips. That it's a circle. So when you reach the bottom, that's the beginning of your way up again. Right? It's an amazing Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samech Tes. Right? Even before the days of formalized prayer, you know, when Jews daven freestyle, and Shachos was a lot shorter back then. Right? Right? But they still said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Right? We still use that phrase because we're not allowed to praise God in any other way than the way Moshe himself in the Torah praised God. So Jews always said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Right? So now, at the time of Churban HaBayis, Daniel and Yirmiyahu, you know, looked at the situation. They got, you know, visibly, you know, upset with the situation. Right? And they stopped saying Dibor Anora. They dropped it from their prayers. Again, that is before formalized prayer. They're allowed to do so. They dropped Dibor Anora. It's a Goyim Meshavdim Bebonav, Aye Gvurosav. You know, the Goyim are beating up on us. Where's his might? Right? Rachim Mechakrim Becholo, Aye Norosav. The Goyim are dancing where the Beis Hamikdash used to be. They party there. Where's God's awesomeness? They stopped. Right? But then Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, the guys who zapped us with that long shachris, right? You know, so Hechziru Atorah Liyoshna, amongst the things that they did, was they restored, saying Gibor Anora. And they said, Adarabah, Hein Gvurosav, Hein Hein Norosav. Really, it's the other way around. You, in this situation, you see God's might, and you see his awesomeness. Hein Hein Gvurosav Shekovish Kaso, you see his might. That he holds back, you know. If someone beat up on your kid, you wouldn't stand back. Say, no, you don't do that. I'm only I hit my kid, Right? So the Rebbe Shem is, he's showing his gvura, but Ezel Gira Kovish is here. So he's holding back and not beating up on the goyim. You know, he beat up on us. That's his gvura. Right? Hein hein no rosa, shu moli morosha, kosh borko, ech umo echo yiskayim ben umos. And that's his awesomeness. Right? Because if not for the awesomeness of God, you know, it's a display of also God that we could survive in exile. Right? We never mix with the other. On one hand, we never assimilate. And on the other hand, they never managed to wipe us out. It's an amazing, famous Jewish sociological miracle. So the obvious question is, like, so the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, they see, they see the light in the darkness. Now, these guys are one step down from Daniel and Yirmiyahu. Daniel and Yirmiyahu are Nevi'im. And you know from the Mishnah of us, Nevi'im Masru Anshei Knesset HaGdol. These guys are like a lower generation, as it were. What was their edge? How did they figure out what Daniel and Yirmiyahu couldn't figure out themselves? And then Yirmiyahu saw the situation, stop saying Dibor Benora. Right? And Anshei Knesset HaGdol, next step down in our Masorah, they see it. They came to this amazing message. They flipped the whole situation on its head. Where'd they get it from? So says Rav Gershon Henoch of Radzin, because the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, that was the Sanhedrin that there was in the days of Purim. They learned it from Purim. Right? The Vinafohu. That was their edge. They lived, Daniel and Yirmiyahu didn't see Purim. Right? They had Purim. That was the message of Purim. Haman, who comes from the Eitz Hadas, he only throws Pur, right? One dice. It's gotta be one way. Like we think it's gotta be like this. It's all along this pole, and it's either this side of the pole or that's our pole, but it's all just one line. That's the way it is. That's Haman's way of thinking. And that's what Bilam says. Reishis goyim amalek vacharisso ade obed. He is the first of nations, but he has no, he ends in obliteration. It's a straight line, right? So he sees Moshe Rabbeinu's born, right? And he dies, right? And he says, listen, that's the way it ended off, right? It's the way it ended off, right? And it all goes by the way it ended. He thinks in one straight line. He thinks linearly. Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra. That's the way he thinks. And that's called Pur. One dice. We call it Purim. Two dice. It's two sides to the issue. It's Vinafohu also. That's one way of looking at it. It goes the other way also. Right? And you should know our whole destiny, right, is one big loop. Time is not a straight line. Time is a loop. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, "Korim shebro olamo hayahu shmo echad." Before God created the world, He and His name were one. Whatever that means. But my point I want to make is that everyone knows, because everyone's just waiting for this line in davening, right? Everyone's just waiting for this line in davening because it's the end of davening, right? Vayomo yashem echad ushmo echad, right? It's one big loop, right? Time is a loop. Life is one big loop, right? We think square. We got to circle that square, right? They say square to circle because they come from Eitz Hadas. So they say you got to square to circle. And so we got to curve out the square. And that's what the Torah does for us. Torah does it by slow education, right? To try to elevate us out of the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'ra, to think like the Eitz HaChaim. On Purim, we get a, crash course. What's the crash course on Purim? Ad Delo Yoda, Ben Or HaMan Baruch Hu. Ad Delo Yoda, get past Eitz Hadas. In Eitz Hadas, it's Tov V'ra, Or HaMan Baruch Mordechai. Ad Delo Yoda, Ben Or HaMan Baruch Mordechai. We have our big break, big breakthrough. Problem is that we have that big breakthrough when we're, after you've had a few, right? Right? Why? Because we got to be real. Because our biochemical consciousness comes from the Eitz Hadas. You got to be real with it. You got to be a little bit out of your current state of mind, right? And so on Purim, this is sanctioned. Purim is like a crash course. It's like a jump. It's like a jump ahead to the end of time. And that's the secret that Purim is the yot of lost love. Call more those exceedingly battle, right? Purim is the one thing we're going to keep in Olam Haba. Right? Purim is a holiday of the future when we're going to see how life goes full circle. Right? So now, this is the holy work of the Chevr Kadisha. Right? So now, but before we get to the Chevr Kadisha, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, who gives us the Torah, right, who gives us this light to understand that there are no losses in God's world. Right? It's just one big loop. Because God can't be defeated. And if God wants to be Meitiv, the Tov will happen. And you get paid not only for, like, sitting tight during the rocky road ride, right? But you get paid for how, you know, how many times your faith was tested. So it comes out that you don't just get back everything you thought you may have lost, right? But you also get paid double, right? For putting up, you know, with good faith, the rocky road ride, you know, that went full circle. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu reveals this truth, the truth of the Torah that liberates us from the Eitz Hadas. So that's so very interesting. The Gemara says it's we're going to go full circle ourselves in just a second. Okay, right? Bear with me, right? Yeah, full circle, right? You know, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, right, that Remez Atzchias Mesim Min Atarah. Where's a Remez Atzchias Mesim from this day? Zayin Ador. Hincha shochev im avosecha v'kom. Right? So the pasuk goes, v'kom am v'zom. You can read the pasuk, you will dwell, you know, sleep with your fathers, v'kom, and you'll get up. Moshe is the remnant to tchias ha-meisiv, that death is not where it ends. Death is really where the good times really start from. Right? The immortality starts from there. That's the bottom of the loop, where the only place to go from there is up. And that's what it means, amongst the many things that it means. That Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to by the Gzeira of the Mabul, right? Mabul, right? Big catastrophe, right? Big catastrophe, wiping out all life. The message that Moshe Rabbeinu brings is, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to wipe things out, that's all for the purpose of a new beginning. Right? That's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu brought to the world with bringing the Torah to the world. The message that there's, right? There's no loss in God's world. If God wants to do good, he can't be defeated, he can't be derailed. And you're going to get credit, right, for hanging tight during this rocky ride that goes in a whole circle. Mm-hmm. So you don't just get what's there at the end of the ride. You get paid extra for everything you put up with all the times your faith was tested. And that's called to get what? Kefil. Get double. Right? You go full circle, so you get back everything you thought you may have lost. Right? You also get paid for having put up with all the, you know, the trials, the tribulations, the drama. That's kefil. So where's the first time we find a Chevra Kadisha in action in the Torah? With this, we're going full circle, really. Right? First time, Parshas Chaye Sora. Right? First time, we find, you know, proper Levaya, a Hesped, Lispel Sora Livkosa, Kvura, right? First time it's brought down by Chaye Sora. So now, this is like the first proper, you know, burial, right, since mortality came into the world. So there's a lot to learn from it. So by no coincidence, what's the burial place called? Ma'oras HaMachpela. Right? Because this was the lesson that was taught. Right? Death is not where it ends. Death is where it's just getting started. And it comes out that you get double. Right? You will get your life back, but you're not just get your life back. Right? You're not just get back what you lost. Right? You're going to get double. You're going to get schar and get tikkun. For how you put up and how you dealt with that life, the way you were supposed to, al pi derech haTorah, with emunah, with bitachon, and making ishtalos when it was appropriate, you're going to get paid for that also. So you get full circle, and you get, you know, for all the effort that you did today. That's moras hamachpela, kefel. Right? All right? And that's the secret. You know, what Haman didn't realize, Moshe Rabbeinu, what it means that he didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born on this day. Right, it doesn't just mean, right, that 120 years earlier he was born. No, on the day he died, he was born. Right, and that's the secret of how we have Moshe with us in every generation. We ask, where's Moshe? Right, so Gemara says, you know, Chazal say, the Rambam brings it in the Akdama to Seder's Roim, Moshe lo meis ela omeid u'meshamish b'moron. Moshe died. You think died means like gone? No. He went to heaven in order to serve from there, and that's how he's with us in every Mochemes Amalei. You know, because he's serving in heaven. The day he died was the day he was born to be Mishamish B'moro, right? To be with us in every generation. In the Muhammad Hashem Ba'amot Midor Dor. And this is all alluded to in this very first case of death and burial, right? You know, Esther, I gave away the punchline. let's walk it back, right? Sarah, how long did she live? Right? 127 years, right? Says the Medrash, right? that Rabbi Akiva was giving shir, like me right now, and they were falling asleep, right? Like me right now, right? B.K. Shlomo, he wanted to wake them up, right? Right. So he says, so he threw out a quiz, right? You know, Ma Ra, you know, why does Hashem deem it correct, right? Deem it, you know, worthy, right? That Esther should reign over 127 nations. It says, Tavo Baspita, come the great granddaughter of this woman who lived, who lived 127 years, and she should reign over 127 medinos, right? 127 provinces. Parshas Chayesar alludes to the whole story of Purim. Right, the lesson of Purim, the lesson of the Nafohu, is that death, and that's what's behind the holy work of the Chevra Kadisha, right? You know, you honor the body because of that. It's not a piece of, you know, it's not your old laptop that you throw out, right? Right? The body, you know, it's coming back, and that's why it has to be treated the way it's treated. That's why it has to be brought to Chevra Yisrael in preparation for its comeback, for its v'nahafochu, right? You know, that the Chet Eitz Hadas that brought death to the world, that it looks like a defeat. It's not a defeat, right? We're going to turn that defeat into the bottom of the loop. That's the beginning of the comeback. So already, the very first Levaya, right, and Hesped and Kvura alludes to the whole story of Purim, the lesson of the Nafohu, right? We're living in a loop, right? You know, it's hard to get our heads around it because we think in a straight line manner, in a square-like manner, but we're living, the Torah teaches the truth, we're living in a loop, right? And the bottom of the loop, when you think everything's lost, that's the Nafohu, that's the beginning of everything coming back. Thank you very much.